Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 306 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Whether you're buying or selling, choosing the right real estate agent is key. With Legacy Realty, you'll work with a dedicated agent from our team of 75 plus professionals who know the Ankeny market like the back of their hand. Our agents provide personalized service to meet your unique needs and goals, ensuring your real estate journey is smooth and successful. As one of the largest brokerages in the area, we leverage the latest tools, resources, and marketing strategies backed by the power of LPT Realty to give you the edge in today's competitive market. At Legacy Realty, it's not just about a transaction, it's about building your legacy. All right, well, I've got a special guest joining me today. He is the former executive director of the Iowa High School Athletic Association, who previously worked under his predecessor, Bernie Sagaw, who passed away on May 9th at the age of 96. So I thought today would be a good opportunity to have him on to talk about Bernie's legacy as well as his own distinguished career at the IHSAA. He is Rick Wolkel. Rick, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm kind of saddened by the loss of a great friend and a colleague.
Sure.
And Bernie, you know, as you said, is a legend and has a great legacy.
Well, yeah, I definitely want to discuss your own career highlights, but let's start with Bernie. I know he had been splitting his time in recent years between Iowa and Arizona. You know, had you seen him recently? I mean, did you know that his health had been declining?
His health has been declining, you know, for the past couple of years. Physically, he was having a tough time getting around. Mentally, he was sharp as a tack. His mind worked right up until the last minute. And but I saw him in September before he left for Florida. He's been going to Florida the past two winters. His daughter lives in Florida, and
Okay. He's
been spending the last two winters in Florida. Prior to that, he did go to Arizona every winter. And then in the summertime, he was at Lake Okoboji. His son has a place there, and they lived right across the street from each other. So. The past few years, he's either been next door to his son or his daughter.
Well, I see that he almost made it to his 97th birthday, didn't he?
Yes, he would have been 97.
I think on Sunday.
Yeah, on the 18th, yes.
Or 18th, okay.
Yep.
Well, of course, Bernie was the longest tenured executive director in the history of the IHSAA. He served from 1963 to 2005. He turned Iowa into a national leader for school activities during his tenure. He worked as a teacher, coach, official, school administrator, and in private business before he joined the association. You know, so his path to the association was similar to yours in many respects because, you know, you also filled a lot of those roles, didn't you?
I did. You know, Bernie hired me in 1980. I was the principal at Jefferson High School, and Bernie stopped by one day and said, I'm creating a new position at the Iowa High School Athletic Association, and if you're interested, I'd like you to apply for the job. And I did, and in July of 1980, I started working at the Iowa High School Athletic Association, and I was Bernie's assistant for 25 years, and then next 10 and a half years, I was the executive director after Bernie retired.
Well, ironically, both of you guys were athletes in college at Buena Vista, and I'm sure you guys exchanged a lot of stories over the years. You know, you must have had a lot of the same experiences, huh?
We did, you know, and that connection probably is the reason that I got to work for the Iowa High School Athletic Association. My college football coach was a good friend of Bernie's, and as the story goes, he called Bernie when I was getting ready to graduate, and he said, I've got this hay baler from Lytton, Iowa that you better keep an eye on. Someday you might want to hire him. And sure enough, 13 years later, I'm working for Bernie Sago at the Iowa High School Athletic Association.
It's always good to have people looking out for you like that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, Bernie succeeded Lyle Quinn as executive director in 1967, and I know one of the things that he emphasized was the importance of sportsmanship, and I believe the association still hands out various sportsmanship awards at its tournaments. You know, that's certainly going to be part of his legacy, isn't it?
It sure is. Bernie was big on citizenship and sportsmanship. It wasn't just about putting on tournaments and playing games. He wanted to build character, and he wanted coaches to be teachers, and and give kids the not only the skills of sports, but also the skills that can help him succeed in life. And he was big on that, and we had several programs in sportsmanship, citizenship, leadership. In fact, he and Dave Hardy, who was an assistant prior to me, Dave and I served together for several years, but wrote a book on citizenship and sportsmanship, and sent it to all the state associations in the country, and there was a high demand for that book back in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Bernie was very big on the character of students, and of course, he spoke to more students than anybody in the history of the state of Iowa, because he was a great motivational speaker and was in high demand, and did many, many athletic banquets, commencements, you name it. Bernie was out there sending this message to the kids relative to being good citizens, and you know, citizenship was important, character was important, leadership was important, and he expressed all those values.
Yeah, I think Bernie spoke at one of my basketball banquets in high school, and that's pretty good that he could just go to one team's banquet.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of the major accomplishments under Bernie there at the IHSAA were the creation of the football playoffs in 1972 and the addition of the three-point shot in basketball in 1982, which was my senior year here at Ankeny when I played. And, of course, the three-point shot has become a staple of the game, you know, at all levels now. Iowa was the first state to utilize the three-point shot, and that just shows how Bernie was an innovator, doesn't it?
It sure does. He had great vision. And he seemed to always be a step and a half ahead of the next guy down the road, you know. But the football playoffs was a huge thing. He formed a committee and told them what values the kids would get from having football playoffs. And then he got together with Stan Sheriff, who was then the football coach and athletic director at, I think it was probably not the University of Northern Iowa then, it was probably the State College of Iowa. Mm-hmm. And right at the time that they were building the dome, and Stan and Bernie made a deal that once that dome was finished, he could move the football playoffs indoors. And of course, they've been indoors, I believe, since 1975, if my memory serves me correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the three-point goal, or three-point line in basketball, that was a big deal. Bernie was the chairman of the rules committee, and he thought that would really help the game of basketball. Back at the time, you know, everybody was playing zone defenses and packing it in, and, you know, the value of that long shot, Bernie thought, would make the game more interesting, not only for the players, but also for the fans. And so he got permission from the National Federation to experiment with that. And our biggest problem with the three-point goal was, how are we going to get these lines down in all these gyms so that they're, you know, done right? And we had a guy in Sioux City, Iowa, who was a basketball coach, Rich Vanderloo was his name.
Mm-hmm.
And Rich put a crew together, and in the summertime, schools that wanted to get that line down right, Rich and his crew would go
do it, huh?
Go out and do it. And so that problem got solved by one of our own basketball coaches. And so, yeah, that was those were both big things in the Iowa High School Athletic Association archives, is the football playoffs and, of course, the three-point goal. And then that became, across the country, you know, colleges developed it a year or two after that, and high schools developed it two or three years after that. So, yeah, Bernie was ahead of the game, and everybody saw the value of it and went along with it.
Well, yeah, it's interesting when you watch those little highlights of games now, even like from college, like in the early 80s before they had the line, and everybody is packed in the lane, and just like there's just not much movement there.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, one of my former colleagues at the Register, John Naughton, wrote a nice story about you upon your retirement in 2015. And in that story, he mentions that you were the principal at Jefferson. You kind of touched on this earlier when you first met Bernie, and he asked you to help host some athletic rules meetings. And then, like you said, in 1980, you were asked to join the association to work with the state's high school officials. So when you went there, I mean, did you ever imagine that you would stay there for 35 years?
You know, at the time, that all happened. I was ready to enroll at Iowa State and get my superintendent's certificate and become a superintendent, because I'd kind of gone through the chairs of teacher, coach, athletic director, principal. And when that opportunity came up, I thought it was my dream job. I couldn't have dreamt of a better job for Rick Wolko than being at the Iowa High School Athletic Association. And so I jumped at it when I had the opportunity to do it. And then, of course, I was into officiating and had some success officiating. And of course, Bernie had come and asked me to do some rules meetings just to kind of check me out and see how things would go, before he mentioned the job that he was creating at the Athletic Association. So for me to get to continue to officiate and also be responsible for all the rules meetings and officials assignments for tournaments and football and basketball, you know, it was, like I said, a dream job and a dream come true for Rick Wolko.
Well, it obviously takes a lot more than one man, you know, to run the association, and you need good people working for you. So what kind of a guy was Bernie to work for? Was he good at delegating responsibilities and letting you do your job?
He sure was. You know, he would keep a very close eye on what you were doing so that it was done in the way that he felt it should be done. Mm-hmm. And once you, secured his confidence in you, he let you run with the job. And I didn't have to worry about him looking over my shoulder or telling me this is the way it should be done or everything. We had very open communication. If he had suggestions and ideas, he would certainly give them to me. You know, he was a great boss, the best boss that I ever worked for. And but he also, you know, didn't mince for words. If something went wrong, he would address it with you in a very professional way. And we had a great relationship, both working and socially. And he was a great man to work for.
Well, another one of his career highlights was prioritizing student-athlete health with the Wellness and Substance Abuse Coordinator positions in 1989, and that launched the nation's first wrestling weight management programs that still exist today. You know, now I'm sure he didn't come up with all these great ideas on his own. You know, would he often ask you guys, you know, for input on things or ask you for your own ideas on various issues?
Well, one of our assistants was Dave Hardy, who had a great wrestling background. He was an excellent high school wrestler. He had wrestled at Iowa State, and he was in charge of the wrestling program at the Iowa High School Athletic Association. But, you know, the weight control thing became a real issue back in the late 80s and early 90s, and we went through several different testing methods. You know, and Dave was the one that really instigated the programs with Bernie's support. Mm-hmm. And Bernie was all in for having this happen, because it was for the well-being of the student-athlete. And anything that was good for kids, Bernie was all in. You know, So Dave and the Athletic Association had Bernie's full support as we move forward with the weight management program. And then when Dave retired, Alan Bestie took over the wrestling, and he was kind of the guy that really did all the background work in getting the weight management program set up, in working with Dave Hardy and with Bernie, of course. And so we really had three strong wrestling supporters in our office that carried these messages on to the national group, and it got adopted in the National Federation of State High School Associations wrestling rules that this was the program that was going to be used throughout the country. So the innovation of it certainly had 100% support from Bernie.
Well, Bernie also chaired the National Basketball Rules Committee for 8 years and served on the National Football Rules Committee for 25 years. He also spent time as the National Board President in 89-90. You know, he was an inductee to the National Football Hall of Fame there in 1993, and he's one of only two individuals ever to have received the National Federation American Tradition Award for significant contributions and service to activity programs. You know, so he obviously felt like it was important to be active in those national organizations, didn't he?
Absolutely. And he was somebody that the directors throughout the country looked up to. He spoke at many of those conferences. He got invited to most every state in the country to speak at large group organizations of high school athletic directors, coaches, and principals, and even did a lot of speaking at student events in states surrounding Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, Minnesota, South Dakota. He did a ton of speaking to high schools around there. But back to your point, Bernie was looked up to by the other directors around the country as a leader in high school athletics around the country. And he was even so recognized as a rules expert that the NCAA even used Bernie on a lot of occasions. And Ted Owens, the old basketball coach from University of Kansas, mm-hmm. and Bernie made trips to Europe to do rules, basketball rules meetings and so forth for our bases and our military bases and so forth, okay. in Europe that used a lot of our rules and stuff. And so not only was he known in the state of Iowa, he was known nationally within our country and abroad, you know. So he was highly recognizable as an expert in high school athletics.
Well, Bernie is also the namesake of two major IHSAA awards. One of them is the annual Bernie Sagal Award for Outstanding High School Seniors at each member school, highlighting citizenship in athletics. And coincidentally, your grandson, Reed Anderson, was the winner of this year's award at Ankeny Centennial. You know, so that was pretty cool. Did that seem like kind of a full circle moment for you?
It sure did. And, you know, when I got home the night after Reed received that award at Centennial High School, I sent a picture of Reed and the award to Bernie's daughter to show to Bernie. And I got an immediate response how proud Bernie was that Reed had received that award. But, you know, both of those awards are, you know, Bernie said, I've been away from this for, you know, 20-some years. Everybody knows who Bernie Sagal is. And those awards are so meaningful that they're distinguished awards yet today.
Oh, sure.
For those that receive them. Whether it's the Award of Merit for people that mm-hmm. Led by the examples that Bernie sent, or the high school students that follow the examples that Bernie sent in his award, you know, for them. So They're distinguished awards and very well received by those that received them.
Well, I'm sure that had to mean a lot to Reed, too.
Yeah, Reed was very proud. He was really proud. In fact, he had his graduation party last weekend, and he went over and he said, "Grandpa, there's that award. I'm really proud of that."
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, of course, you can't talk about Bernie without talking about the Hall of Pride. The museum in downtown Des Moines was a cornerstone to the Iowa Event Center opening in 2005. And the goal of the museum was educating the future, preserving the past, and celebrating accomplishments of all Iowans. You know, do you think the Hall of Pride will be, you know, one of Bernie's greatest legacies? And can you talk a little bit about, you know, how that whole thing evolved?
You know, Bernie wanted to capture the history of schools and school programs, activities, in the state of Iowa, and this was his way of encapsulating all of that, and he was bound determined that was going to happen, and got the support of the Board of Control to do it, and it was a great tribute to activities and student athletes, coaches, administrators, the accomplishments of each and every school in the state of Iowa. They had a chance to brag about their school within the Hall of Pride. And so that is certainly going to stand as one of the things in Bernie's legacy. It's unfortunate that COVID came along and our school business was the biggest attendees of the Hall of Pride, and it dropped off to nothing when students couldn't travel and all
right.
That type of thing, and it just became a financial burden because we didn't have the schools continuing
right.
to support it through field trips and everything, but they, it is online yet. Achieve is on the Iowa High School Athletic Association website. All the interviews, all the things that have been recorded are available. They're just not visible like they were and accessible
right.
like they were to those that would come and visit the Iowa Hall of Pride.
All right, listen to the Yankee Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa. Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive is located on the south side of Ankeny, near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. Well, we're talking with the former Iowa High School Athletic Association Executive Director, Rick Wolko. And let's talk about your career now. I believe you're one of only six or seven men to hold the position of Executive Director since 1923, so that's pretty amazing. You grew up on a family farm outside of Lytton in Northwest Iowa, like you mentioned, and you're an exceptional athlete. You won 15 letters in your high school career. Yeah, you were a star quarterback, a state track qualifier. You were a standout in baseball and basketball. So do you have a favorite sport, or is it just whichever one you happen to be playing at the time?
Actually, it was whatever sport was in season. But when it all boiled down to when I was in college, I played three sports in college, football, basketball, and baseball. But in the end, when I look back, football was my favorite sport in college. In high school, basketball was probably my favorite sport. But there was just something about football that I love that the sport, and I love them all. But I really have a great love for the game of football.
I've noticed over the years that a lot of multi-sport athletes, even if they go on to play a different sport in college because maybe that's their best one, that kids just seem to love football.
Yeah, that's for sure.
When I read where you once threw a 99-yard touchdown pass, which will always be tied for the state record, you know, so do you remember that play? Was that like a bomb that you threw that was like 60 or 70 yards through the air? Or did you throw a short pass that the receiver had to take to the house?
it's a good story. We stopped. We were playing Lauraville, another small school up in Calhoun County.
Mm-hmm.
And we stopped him just short of the goal line. The nose of the football couldn't have been 2 or 3 inches from the goal line. Our coach took a timeout, and I went over to the sideline, and he looked at me and he says, "What do you think we should run?" And I said, "Well, I think we should throw a pass." And we had this little pass play where the end went down and kind of took the cornerback away, and then we slipped back out of the backfield. And we had this back that had great speed. And I actually threw the ball about 5 yards, and he ran the other 95.
Well, you still get credit for 99 yards.
Yeah. And I always tell everybody, mine was 99 3/4 yards.
There you go.
That was a simple little play that went, and our football field ran right parallel to Highway 20. And I can remember standing in one end zone watching this halfback run down the sideline parallel to Highway 20 all the way to the other end zone. And that was quite a sight to see.
Oh, I'll bet. Well, you told John Knott for his story that if it wasn't for athletics, you probably would have still been on the farm. You know, so growing up, did you want to pursue, you know, some sort of career involving athletics, or you just kind of assumed that you'd stay on the farm?
I really looked up to my coaches in high school, and they made a real impact on me. And if it wouldn't have been for athletics and my ability to play athletics in college, I probably would have stayed on the farm, because I love farming. I had very successful livestock projects and took to fairs and so forth. I had a great uncle that let me farm a few acres of land when I was in high school, and I had a real love for the farm. But you know, growing up in high school with the coaches that I had, and the ability that I had to continue to play sports, I decided I wanted to be a teacher coach and pursue that. So that's kind of the story behind how I ended up in the field of education.
Well, I'm sure you felt like, you know, playing all of your various sports helped teach you valuable life lessons, you know, like learning how to lose gracefully. Because once you became the executive director, you know, you shared Bernie's philosophy that high school activities, you know, help build better citizens. Now, did you pay a lot of attention to participation numbers for the various sports and whether they were growing or not on a yearly basis?
Oh, absolutely. We wanted to promote, you know, as much as we could. And if we saw a sport falling off, we would try to figure out why aren't kids wanting to participate in that sport? What's the reason behind it? And then try to develop things that would improve that phase of the sport so the kids would be more accessible to wanting to go out for those particular sports. So, yeah, participation numbers were very important to us.
One other thing you had in common with Bernie was being an official at a high level. He was an NCAA Division I referee in both the football and basketball, and you were a longtime college basketball referee. You know, you did quite a few NCAA tournament games, didn't you?
I did. I was very fortunate. One of the things, when Bernie hired me to be in charge of officials, he said, "Now you're not going to officiate high school basketball anymore, because I don't want you taking games away from the guys that you're, you know, working with." Mm-hmm. But he said, "You know, I'm the supervisor of the Big Eight Conference, and I don't know if you have the personality for it or not, but I'll give you a chance to work college basketball." So he hired me on the crew at the in the Big Eight Conference. At that time, there were 19 of us that worked the Big Eight Conference basketball games. And as things worked out, I was successful, you know, in officiating, and I was very fortunate to, you know, be able to officiate Division I basketball for 17 years.
Well, yeah, I'm a huge college basketball fan. I went to my 15th Final Four this year. I can't remember, did you ever make it to a Final Four?
I didn't make the Final Four because one of the stipulations for my officiating was that when the Iowa High School basketball tournament was taking place, I was to be there. That was one of the stipulations Bernie put on my officiating. And in tournament officiating, you advance round to round. So you get in on the first round, and then they select from that group of officials who's going to the second round, and so forth. Well, whenever the state tournament hit, I had to drop out.
Sure.
So I was never, I did work as far as the regional finals two times, but had to drop out because of our state tournament. So I don't know whether I would have ever made a Final Four or not. I never had that opportunity to stay in the pool that long. So, but I was very fortunate. One thing that I'm really proud of, I worked every Big Eight basketball tournament that the Big Eight ever had.
Oh, wow.
They started the Big Eight tournaments in, I believe it was 1982, and the last Big Eight tournament was in 1997. And I was able to work all 15 of those Big Eight tournaments, which I'm very proud of.
So was it just a couple years later then when you retired, or?
Yes, yeah. When I actually was going to retire a year in 1996, because at that time there was a lot of talk about the Hall of Pride, and Bernie had kind of indicated to me that he had a lot of work to do with that I needed to be, you know, around as much as possible to take care of things at the Iowa High School Athletic Association. But the commissioner of the Big Eight at that time talked to both me and Bernie, and he said, we only have one more year of the Big Eight before we're going to the Big 12. And we'd like Rick to work that last year of the Big Eight. So I did work the final year in 1997 in the Big Eight. I had an opportunity. I could have gone to the Big 12, but that was a time that I needed to make a decision as to whether I wanted to, you know, pursue Bernie's position as he retired.
Right.
And I had a pretty good indication that I would be in line for that, so I did 100% at Iowa High School Athletic Association at that time.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if your officiating career overlapped with when you became the executive director, because it'd probably be pretty hard to do both of those, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no, I'd retired from officiating before I became executive director, knowing that my duties would, you know, not allow me to continue to officiate.
Well, like Bernie, you were also very active in the national organizations. You're a past president of the National Federation of State High School Associations and the National Association of Sports Officials. And I know you've been described as both a strong moderate and a unifying force, and you were someone who could hear both sides of a controversial issue and try to find ways to compromise. You know, is that a fair way to describe your leadership style?
Yeah, I think that's a very fair way. You know, I'm a good listener. I always felt that I could learn more by listening than talking, and I valued the position and of those that we would be in discussions with about various issues and ideas, and so that would be a very, very fair way of my leadership style, yes.
Now, I've been dealing with high school coaches and athletic directors for about 35 years, and occasionally I'll hear, you know, one of them grumble about something that was done up at Boone or some decision that was made. You know, did you ever get very many complaints when you were in charge up there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there were always those that, you know, I always said, you know, we got to have a wide vision of things. We can't look, you know, things through a microscope. And, you know, every coach, and I respect them for that, and they're looking out for their own program and their own team. I had to look out for at that time, 375 schools, you sure. know, not just one school. And so, yeah, there was a lot of discussion about rules and regulations and people that didn't like some of the changes that were being made. They were very traditional and didn't want to, you know, expand things or do things differently. Hopefully we've done enough of our work that we could convince them, once you try it, you're going to like it, you know. And most of the time it worked out that way.
Well, of course, the state co-ed track meet will get underway tomorrow and run for the next 3 days at Drake Stadium. The co-ed meet started in 2005, which coincided with the beginning of your tenure there as executive director. You know, and it has become the nation's largest state high school championship meet. You know, I have to say that, you know, I personally think that the co-ed meet is one of the best things that you guys, you know, ever done. There's nothing wrong with the old format of the girls meet one weekend and then the boys the next. But, you know, I just think that that three-day meet is just one of the best around. And it's obviously been a huge success, hasn't it?
It has been a huge success. It's like you said, it's one of the premier high school athletic events in the country, is the co-ed state. You know, our wrestling tournament is the greatest in the country for high schools, but this co-ed state track meet is absolutely a phenomenal event. And when you pack Drake Stadium, you know, for a high school event, you know, you have something that's important to people throughout the state of Iowa, because they
sure.
come from all four corners and then some.
Well, Rick, you were certainly a very competitive athlete back in the day, and you worked in and around athletics all your life, you know, before you retired in 2015. Have you been able to satisfy your competitive urges in your retirement? Do you like to golf or anything?
I do. You know, the favorite thing for me in retirement, and one of the main reasons I retired, I felt that with all the athletic association business and all my officiating and everything, I'd kind of cheated my family on family time. One of the main reasons I retired is to spend more time with my family, and I've been chasing grandkids. I've been very fortunate to have grandchildren that have liked to compete and play in athletics. I have a granddaughter who just finished up a career at Drake as a softball player. I've got a granddaughter that's a volleyball player at Wartburg. I've got a grandson that's a basketball player at the University of Wisconsin, River Falls. I'm going to have a football player at Drake next year. And I've got a little guy that just going into ninth grade next year here at Ankeny Centennial. And my wife, Barb, and I, we spend our time following their activities. We put a lot of miles on our car, and we don't miss an event if we can help it. And I do play some golf.
Well, yeah, with all those grandkids, that'll keep it busy. Well, hey, Rick, I really enjoyed the conversation today. Thanks so much for coming in today. Yeah, and enjoy the summer.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, and Bernie's legacy will live forever. He is certainly a legend, and he's going to be missed. But the impact he's had on students, coaches, administrators, schools, the state of Iowa will last forever.
Well, yeah, I couldn't agree more, and that's why I wanted to have you in today. You did a great job of, you know, recapping his legacy, so thanks again.
Thank you.
All right, you listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. At Legacy Realty, we combine the best of both worlds. The local expertise of over 75 agents in the Ankeny Metro with the innovative power of LPT Realty, one of the fastest growing nationwide brokerages. Our agents have the flexibility to tailor their services to meet your needs, and they are equipped with advanced marketing strategies to help you achieve your goals. Looking to buy or sell? Our local agents know the Ankeny market inside and out, and they're here to guide you through every step of the process. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, we have the resources to help you succeed. Legacy Realty of Iowa, local expertise, national strength, your real estate advantage. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. I really enjoyed my conversation with Rick Wolkall, the former executive director of the Iowa High School Athletic Association. We talked about Bernie Sagaw's legacy after Bernie passed away earlier this month. And like I said, I really enjoyed that conversation. I'll come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.